Number 10 and number 11 are all deferred. So we are on sketch plats. The first up is item 12, PR 2021-5222, PS 2021-39. This is for Western Hills Investments LLC at 3615 Highway 528 between Alameda and Highway 528. And Tier West is the agent. Good morning, Tier West.
Good morning, Jolene. Ron Bohannon with Tier West.
Okay, you can go ahead and introduce your sketch plot.
I'm sure. Jay, could I share my screen with you, with me?
Jay, we're going to make sure. Maggie, we'll have to give
you just privileges. Give me one moment. Is Maggie Gold. Okay, Ron, you should be able to share your screen.
Okay. Thank you. This is a sketch plat review for a proposed lot division that's off of the bypass, Mexico 528. It's up in on the west side. It is New Mexico 528. On the back side is a road that goes back to Corrales. We're proposing a two-lot subdivision. This was a project that had a 30,000 square foot office building on this. We had worked with Carl previously, and we're going to have to head to EPC. And so, Carl, I've got a few more questions on that when we get there. But right now, we're doing a quick little subdivision to create a site for Dutch Brothers. We have an existing access off of the roadway. We've been working with Gene and Matt on that traffic study. And so we can talk about that when Gene's up. This is a shared access to the Mister's Car Wash, which we will continue. Then we're also going to have an access to a cell tower back in this corner, back in here. Track one is where the Dutch Brothers will occur. Track two is where a future proposed site plan that we don't have a user for will continue to remain. With that, we also have an existing access that will prepare an access easement for some of the balance of the tracks. It acts as a slight frontage road for those properties. Drainage basically drains to an existing pond in the back. There's an existing channel back in this area, so we have drainage in that area with that. We've submitted a grading and drainage plan. We've also submitted we've got an approved fire wind sheet, and then we've also submitted for water and sewer availability. So with that, I'll open it up for questions or getting comments from the various board members.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Water Authority first.
Hello, Ron. This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. So availability statement 200927 exists for the property, dated October 21st, 2020, and is valid for 1 year. And it really identified the needs for the coffee shop. It identified also the building, but I think the fire flow was specifically for the coffee shop. The DRB submittal indicated a coffee shop as well as cell tower and future commercial development. The submitted plat shows a coffee shop on track one and the proposed cell tower and future development on track two. So we'll just need to get a new availability statement later when that track two develops, just so we can confirm the fire flow for that later development. So just keep that in mind. It looks like the request for availability statement for the one that you have in your hand was for 1,500 gallons per minute. And I'm guessing that is obviously for the coffee shop. If you can please provide a utility plan that shows how each lot will be served. There is an 18-inch sanitary sewer line along Alameda. Per ordinance, we don't allow any new connections to interceptors 15 inches or greater. Do you know if that existing building had multiple sewer services?
So we've actually looked at that. And so what we're gonna do is they demolished the building before we could get out there and locate those. So what we're showing, and if it's acceptable to you, Chris, is to make those sewer ties to the manholes as opposed to the lines. That and we do find the existing water service off of on this backside that we would like to keep for track, the future track, and then still create a new water service for the Dutch Brothers. And then we'll grant an easement for that water service across track two for the benefit of track one.
Well, let's take a look at that. Yeah, anytime you connect to an interceptor, there's obviously potential for odor issues. The end result needs to have separate water services and separate sewer services, separate accounts for track one and track two. So put together a utility plan and see how you propose to achieve that. Now, the existing property, I'm looking at our system, it has several old accounts. It could be that there could have been several existing water services, counting one, two, three, seven or more. So there looks to be multiple services on the accounting side. I don't know if the services still exist, but there looks to be several accounts that used to exist at one point. So the idea is any unused water service will have to be removed. So you'll want to consider what's not going to be used for either track one or track two. And we would like an infrastructure list to remove any existing services that will not be utilized. And that's just because there's a lot of leakage potential. They're all going to be charged. So we try to remove that just so there's not any issues in the future.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you can send through that, we'll mark it up. We'll go physically out in the field and see if we can locate any of those connections, and then we'll revise how we want to use those connections and send back through to you.
Okay. Yeah, the identified 18-inch for sewer is an asbestos concrete and generally not suitable for routine connections, but if you're looking at manholes, we can figure out a way to best go about doing that. I know there's a lot of the adjacent areas have been developed, and I don't see sewer collector lines in close proximity. So let's just get a utility plan and we can go over that. Like I said, indicate if the existing water services are to be used for the availability statement. Any unused fire lines, water service, like we talked about, shall be removed. Include those on an infrastructure list just so we have that guaranteed.
Okay.
And it appears that private easement may be needed to serve the Dutch Brothers parcel from the existing water and sewer main. As we talked about, you'll have to verify the location of the existing private water and private sanitary sewer services to determine if private service easements are needed to preserve any existing services for the newly created lot. So just keep that in mind. And you should include there is a note on the comment sheet that I provided. If you can include that note on the plat that states existing public water and sanitary sewer infrastructure may not be constructed or sized to adequately serve the potential future development. Improvement or upsizing of existing public infrastructure may be required as the initial condition of future development approval. And that's really because we don't know what track two is going to develop as. And as we know, there is water to the east, but there's not collector lines nearby. So it gives that opportunity to put track two on notice. That's all that I have, Ron. Thank you for your time.
Okay. And we don't need a development agreement on this one as well.
Well, the property has been served. I mean, it's in the CC&B account and has been for a while. So the property has had service, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's been served for quite some time. So there would be no need for that because it's already been served. You're just simply changing a building and redeveloping the site. But it's had service. And I believe you can work with our customer service team once service accounts are established. And they'll look at the old accounts and see there might be an ability to quote unquote credit the account. If there's new UECs to be paid, they'll be able to maybe determine the balance for your developer to have to pay.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to be as thorough. Thank you, Jordan.
Us too. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. Upon my research, I noted that there was an EPC notice of decision. The number was 1010-999. It was approved and delegated to DRB. An actual site development plan is not signed off by the DRB. So you can, your options will be to complete the existing site development plan, or you can bring in a new site development plan complying with the EPC notice of decision or you can amend the approved notice of decision with the EPC.
So this is some of the clarification we had. So the approved site development plan had 30,000 square foot office building, and we're not even going to be close. We're going to be 10% below that. So my question is on the actual process. We are heading towards EPC because we don't meet the thresholds and can't really finish off the old DRB count and do an AA. So my question is that still the correct process for that site plan approval, or is that site plan approval through the DRB? So we're just trying to get some clarification on that.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Yes, I believe the correct process is going to be the EPC. And I would also just ask for concurrence with that, with Maggie Gould.
Yeah, that's how we're reading it. Between you and Maggie, I just have to, if you guys can concur with that today.
Yeah.
So this is Maggie Gould. So yeah, I think because it's still in that EPC DRB limbo where it was never fully signed off by DRB, you would go back to EPC. I suppose your other option would be to, and Carl, leap in if I'm misspeaking, but would be to complete the existing site plan, get it approved, and then return. No, that would still send you back to DRB because you would go back to the original approving body because it would be a major amendment. So yes, your process is to go to EPC.
Right, and we don't meet the thresholds as well for
today. Yeah.
So that's how we're reading it. We just wanted one more set of eyes to look at it. The other question we have is
Mr. Bohannon, before we go on, I think I asked Mr. Rodenbeck to pull up your site plan. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you have that to show?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I'm pulling up a site plan that I found in DMD for the site. I don't know if this is the same site plan that we're all referring to. This is what I found.
This is Ron Bohannon. Jay, what we found and what was built wasn't the same. So there was a 30,000 square foot building that was built, that was demolished, that doesn't resemble that approved site development plan, that site development plan that was in your files. Not was actually built out there.
Okay, Mr. Bohannon, can you just clarify that one more time? You trailed off. So the site plan that's approved is different than what was the existing built condition on the property?
Correct, that's Ron Bohannon. So when we took over the project, what was built was one building, approximately 30,000 square feet in size, which is, if you combine both of those buildings, it's about that size, literally in the middle of that lot. And so this site development plan didn't pertain to what was the built conditions.
Okay, and this plan, the date of it is, I can't quite read that.
Jay Rodenbeck, I'm zooming
the
16th? In here. Yeah.
Or 2016.
December 16th.
And do you know the date of the building construction?
It was way before 2016. I mean, okay. That building was at least 25 years old.
Okay.
So I'm not sure the complete history on it. And so that's why we're very satisfied with just going back to EPC and just getting a fresh start. And that's how we're planning on proceeding.
Okay. It's kind of a tricky circumstance. So I want to make sure we're helping you with the best process.
If you look through, you can actually see the old building in the Google map.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Ron, I got the aerials pulled up for the site. I don't know if this is the building you're referring to. These are 2010 aerials. I'm just going through the years here on our Aegis map, but you can see an existing building on that site.
Yeah, that's the building. That was roughly a 30,000 square foot building that was demolished last year. Yeah, so as near as I can tell, and what I remember is that's been for a couple of decades.
Okay, and so would there be an expiration date on a site plan? Like an old EPC site plan?
And Nicole can weigh in on this, but this is my experiences with expired site development plans, is that would require an action by the city. So they're supposed to, at every 7 years, they were supposed to be reviewed, but then it would actually take an action by the city to basically vacate that site development plan. And so my read of all of this is that that site development plan is still valid because it was never vacated. And so way we're interpreting this is that we are proceeding to EPC with basically a replacement site development plan, similar to what we did on the church at Montgomery and Cardinal. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we're approaching it. That way it'll be a clean file when we're all said and done.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's go on to Parks and Recreation.
If I may,
I'm sorry. I did interrupt you. Go ahead.
Carl and Maggie, one more question. We are going to propose a cell tower on the backside of track 2. And so my comment on that was, do we have to follow the wireless communications for the EPC submittal? And do we need a separate PRT for that?
So this is Maggie Gould. So yes, I would set up a PRT for, this would be, I'm apparently I need to think out loud today. I would, on your PRT, I would set it up as two separate things, because I think you're gonna want Catalina to weigh in about whether you can run these things through EPC simultaneously, because generally the cell tower requests are administrative.
Okay. Great. We'll follow up on that one. So.
Okay. Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We just had that New Mexico 520 is regional principal arterial, which requires trees if applicable for IDO section 5.6. So it sounds like you're going to be going to EPC for this. I guess we would review it at that time as well. Thank you.
And we plan on having street trees. We've got an island in the front on separated in that, so we'll be able to locate the street trees through that area.
Thank you.
Hydrology.
Ernest Darmejo, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of November 23rd, 2020. We have no comments.
Ernest, you're the easiest, this Ron Bohannon, you're the easiest department in this project so far. So.
Chris Cadena, I object.
Yeah, and just, you know, you heard the last case, right, with hydrology? That was... All right, no, we appreciate hydrology very much. Yeah. Transportation.
Oh, yeah, this is Jean Wolfenberger. Like Chris Cadena, I object as well. As was mentioned, include a shared access agreement as part of the platting action. And although the Dutch brothers can be proceed to separately as a separate action, we will be tying the traffic impact study to the platting action for the separation of the two parcels. We had already been coordinating with you on a traffic study requirements for that. And include any TIS improvements to the infrastructure list that are shown as for the recommendations, and add proposed sidewalk and accessway requirements.
Correct. We've already got the access agreement working with the attorneys, so that's already underway. We'll reach out and start to set up a scoping meeting for the TIS. we were hoping to be able to get Betch Weathers moved ahead, but they're all, the plat and the site plan through EPC are tied together. So we'll get it all worked out and we'll get the TIS started.
This is Jean with transportation. That all sounds fine, especially since you have to go through EPC. That buys some time, at least for the whole overall process.
Only about 2 months. we know how to get through EPC. So 2 months, we'll be back.
Okay, thank you, transportation. Let's go to planning.
Hey, this is Maggie Gould. So again, standard DRB comments about your number and plat signatures. Again, we recommend you obtain all utility signatures prior to DRB submittal. And then the site plan that we just discussed and transportation requirements to determine if the platting action will require major infrastructure and be a major plat.
Okay. That all seems pretty good. So we appreciate taking the time and going through our comments as well today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bohannon. Good luck with your project. And now we're on item 13, PR 2021-5185, PS 2021-38 for Victor Apodaca at 402 Gomez Avenue. And Wage on Surveying.
Good morning.
Looks like Levi Parsons.
Yes, good morning, Levi Parsons, Wage on Surveying, 1609 2nd Street Northwest.
Thank you, welcome. Do you want to go ahead and present your project?
Sure. So we have a minor subdivision here in off of Gomez Road or Gomez Avenue Northeast. We're taking one existing lot and splitting it into six smaller lots, presumably for the development of residential housing.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was the last part for
residential housing? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Let's get some comments for you, Water Authority.
Hello, Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. If you can please request an availability statement online, I provided a link in the comments, and we'll be able to provide the conditions for service for your property. There is an existing water line and 8-inch sewer line along Gomez, so it should be very straightforward. Please confirm if the existing home is to remain. If so, adjustments to its services are required prior to plat approval so that it can remain maintain service with the new lot configuration. And please verify the location of existing private water and or private sanitary sewer services to determine if the service is in a location that can serve the proposed lot or easements if required. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, Levi with Wage on Surveying. I do believe that there is an existing water meter. It looks like it will probably be serviceable to two lots as it falls right in between the lots C and D on the proposed new plat. But we will verify that and have that ready for the next one.
Christian, the Water Authority. Yes, all proposed lots shall have separate water services and separate sewer services as well as separate accounts. So really no lot really can share service.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Levi with Wage on. So that existing meter that falls in between, we couldn't put two meters on the one line and truncate them there?
Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. When you say 2 meters on one line, are you talking about 2 meters on one service line?
No, 2 meters in one box.
2 meters in one box, Levi with Wage on, sorry.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, but there's that, it's very typical to include a meter box at shared property lines. With 2 meters within that 1 meter box. Absolutely. Chris, thank you.
Okay, code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. Upon my reviewing with the information submitted, all six lots do comply with contextual standards, so I have no other comments.
Parks and Recreation.
General Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, no comments.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology will need an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan prior to sign off.
Levi with Wage on Surveying. In regards to that, would it be something that we could defer to at the time of construction, as I don't believe that he has a contiguous site plan for the development of each lot at this time?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Well, unfortunately, since you're adding it, it's adding all of these lot lines in without a grading and drainage plan. We don't know if drainage is crossing between the lots. Unless you granted a blanket cross lot drainage easement across all of these lots, which I don't believe future property owners would appreciate.
Levi with Wade John, that's understood. As I said previously, would it be maybe amenable to do private drainage easements along the lot lines at 5 foot offsets, or do we have to actually get a full grading and drainage plan for the site prior to development?
Ernest Remejo Hydrology, it only needs to be conceptual. So it's like, it's not like you're going to actually be doing it for the actual house right now. You can do it conceptual, just, okay, we're going to grade it like this to keep the drainage within each individual lot.
Levi with Way John, thank you, sir.
Transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation. I understand the right-of-way varies along Gomez, but please list the minimum width. The minimum right-of-way width for Gomez Road shall meet the development process manual standards. Also, there's no sidewalk along Gomez. So typically what we do in this situation is we ask for a minimum sidewalk width of 5 feet according to the DPM standards. Also, please indicate the existing centerline radius for Gomez at the 90 degree turn in the road to help determine whether or not we need some redesign of the road there. And that would, of course, lead to a right-of-way dedication requirements as well as potential roadway adjustment there. Any required roadway improvements shall be placed onto an infrastructure list.
Levi with Way John, understood. Thank you.
Planning.
This is Maggie Gould. So again, the standard comments about your number and flat requirements and utility signatures. Again, transportation comments regarding major infrastructure, major platting. We've addressed contextual standards. And then just as an informational comment, the site is within the Martinez Town Santa Barbara Character Protection Overlay, and future development must comply with the provisions of that CPO and also with the IDO. And there are some specifics about different setbacks for single family residential within that overlay that your applicant should be aware of.
Levi with Way John, understood. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Parsons, do you have any other questions?
Levi with Way John, no, not at this time. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, sir. Our last order of business, item 15, are the action sheet minutes from March 10th, 2021. Is there a motion to approve those?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I move to approve the action sheet minutes from March 10th, 2021.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority.
Ernest Remejo Hydrology. I think Chris got in there first.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, Chris Cadena, Water Authority, second.
Please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia of Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Remejo Hydrology, I approve.
In Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to approve the action sheet minutes of March 10th, 2021. And DRB is adjourned at 10:57 a.m.